Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to the Double T 97.3 mobile app for that, or the mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. And the Visual Edge IT hotline is open as well. A number of you have asked or talked or commented on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, and with regard to Red Raider catcher Kevin Bazell. He was out of the lineup all weekend. Is he injured? I do not know. Said Coach Tadlock said he's not playing against Texas as well.
Yeah, so Coach Tadlock said Friday in his press conference that not hurt, not suspended for academics, not suspended for disciplinary reasons, but he wouldn't be playing this weekend. He said that on Friday. It looks like, you know, he's not going to be playing for a while. I don't know how long that while is, unfortunately. And again, of course, because of HIPAA laws and all that kind of stuff, I guess there's only so much he can say.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I guess I'm at the point where I just, maybe it's because I'm a pessimist. I don't know that I just assume he's not going to play this weekend, but I really have, I don't know. I just am going off of what Coach Tadlock says.
Yeah.
And, again, legally he can only say so much, and you can ask him a million questions, and he can only tell you what he can tell you.
Right.
And so I think he made it very clear. He wanted everybody to know that Kevin was not in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't that he had done something wrong. I think that was very clear. And if you were at the ballpark the last couple of days, you saw Kevin there. He's, you know, moving around and doesn't look injured, but cannot play right now. So, hope you would. The thing about Kevin Bazell, he's your best all around player. What he does with the bat is impressive, but you have a lot of really good hitters. That's not to say that his bat won't be missed, but what he does behind the plate, throwing the baseball, really is a difference maker. And if you go back to last year, you know, Hudson White was a good receiver, and Hudson White could hit, but he doesn't throw like Kevin Bazell does. And you know, there were one of those days, I believe it was Saturday, where they went 5 for 5 and stolen, or maybe the first two games overall, they were combined 5 for 5 and stolen base attempts. Now, Dylan Maxey yesterday gunned a guy down, was a really impressive throw. It just changes things. Teams don't run nearly as much against the Red Raiders when Bazell's back there. And so it's, if you don't have him this weekend, that would be a loss. So, you know, doesn't mean you still can't win. It doesn't mean that Maxey or Rivers, who both can hit, there's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. Both can provide offense for you. So keep our fingers crossed that Kevin will play this weekend. But it sounds like, and I didn't hear this, but somebody on the chat line said yesterday that Coach said that he won't play against Texas. I had not heard that.
That was reported over the weekend by the AJ. So.
Okay, so that's disappointing, obviously. So don't know how long it's going to be, but it's a little bit disappointing. You know, you consider, you don't want to whine about it. Everybody has injuries. Lady mm-hmm. Raiders are full of them. A Red Raider football team just can't keep a quarterback healthy. All that good stuff we know. But you know, last year at this time, it was a self-inflicted wound when you went into that matchup with the Longhorns and got swept and didn't have your best reliever. And now it looks like you're not going to have your best, in my opinion, all-around player and Kevin Bazell available for this weekend. So that's definitely a big blow. Chance for other guys to step up, and
yeah,
that's what you're going to need Maxey and Rivers to do.
This is what he said in the AJ this morning. I think he feels good enough to be back, but I think protocols that he can't be back. Believe me, I think he could jump in there and hit right now. I think he'd fall out of bed on Christmas and hit, but I don't think we can allow him to.
Yeah.
However you want to read that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hear all the other things that he said, and it sounds like it's some sort of a sickness or an illness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But again, you see him at the ballpark and you're like, looks fine.
Right. So, but there's clearly something going on there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And clearly Coach Tadlock cannot say what it is.
Yeah. And he's giving you his best stuff there. So there you go. We'll see what happens, from that angle. Let's see. Couple things here. I don't know why Kyron Lindsey didn't go to West Virginia. He didn't travel with the team. Warren Washington didn't play. Here's my question with regard to Warren Washington is, I just feel like that if he wasn't going to play again, they would say that. But it sounds like they're trying to get him as comfortable as they can for postseason play. So... But I feel like that if he wasn't going to play again, they'd say that.
That would be my guess. That would be my guess. But I don't know that for 100%, but I think I would agree with you. That would be my guess as well.
This is one of the few times I actually believe it's a game time decision every single game. Can he go today? Then he'll go today.
But the thing that you question with. Why was Lindsey not there, but Washington was? Okay. Lindsey was injured and he's so injured that there was no chance of him playing?
Or sick or something.
But wouldn't you still guess he would be with the team?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. You know, I've seen the Red Raider baseball team at times, even in Big 12 play, when you've used a roster spot to bring a guy. That's like an important part in the fully well knowing he couldn't play.
Mm-hmm.
You bring a guy, you don't have this worry in basketball, but when only 27 are allowed to travel, you would bring him just because he's a big leader on the team. You want him in your locker room.
Stephen Gingrey, right?
What's that?
Wasn't Stephen Gingrey like that when he had his Tommy John surgery that he was with the team like every single game except for when he was in the surgery?
I remember them doing it with Morrell. I remember them doing it with Becker. Those are the two that come to mind. Real short notice or short memory. And so maybe for certain they would want Warren Washington around the team. You know, he's a good leader. You want him on your bench. You want him cheering guys on. You want him, maybe he's hopping over and saying something to Robert Jennings when he comes out of the game. Hey, look for this when they do that, blah, blah, blah. He's that kind of guy. That's the kind of guy you want around the team. But I'm saying it's possible that they're bringing him either way just because he's a team guy.
Sure, right.
But I think I lean towards thinking the same thing you do, that they truly believe maybe he'll be healthy enough to go. Maybe he'll be healthy enough to go. Or, you know, we're just going to keep bringing this guy because we want him on the bench with us. We want him in the locker room with us.
And the other thing, too, is, he's only got this year. So if he is available, then he can play a few minutes and put him in, right? But, I mean, they announced before the game that he was not going to play. The Lady Raiders, you can only travel on the women's side. You can travel 15. And because of some circumstances there, you've had, you know, an extra player this year with Calista Martin joining the team at the break. So there have been times when they've had to leave somebody home or they've left players home that were going through concussion protocol that didn't make any sense to take them to an arena with flashing lights and loud music. So they've left people at home. So
this is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
The Morning Drive. Today is the fourth day of March, 2024. Here is Jeff McGuire.
Starting in 1927, Babe Ruth becomes the highest paid baseball player in Major League Baseball history when he signs a 3-year, $70,000 per season contract with the New York Yankees.
That 27 team, I think, is going to be pretty good.
Trying to buy another championship.
Hit the fast forward button to 1961. The 8th ACC men's basketball tournament took place. Wake Forest beat Duke 96-81. 1970, Jacksonville is the first college basketball team to average 100 points per game.
Ooh.
Wow, that's prolific.
1984, Pee Wee Reese and Rick Farrell are elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Sad one here in 1990. Hank Gather is one of two Division I players to lead the nation in scoring and rebounding in the same season. Dies after collapsing during Loyola Marymount's West Coast Conference tournament game against Portland. He was 23.
Sad day.
2013, Gonzaga, the small Northwest school that has delivered big NCAA tournament wins, is atop of the Associated Press top 25 for the first time, riding the best record in Division I at 29-2. Bulldogs become the 57th school to ever be ranked number one since the AP poll began in January 1949.
We all know what they're most well known for, right, though?
Frustrating, Chuck?
Giving the Red Raiders Cade McGee. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he had a pretty good weekend, didn't he? He had a better weekend, didn't he?
Yeah. He's playing great.
But I mean, at the plate, too, at least on Friday.
Well, he actually got some pitches this weekend.
Yeah. It's amazing how that helps.
Right. Yeah, when he stops getting hit all the time.
Right, which is not ideal, right?
Yeah.
And in 2019, Jarrett Culver led the Red Raiders with 16 points and 7 rebounds, while Matt Mooney had 15 points. Brandon Francis added 12 to lead the reserves, and Davide Moretti went for 11 points after going 3-for-3 from three-point range in a 70-51 win over Texas.
Nice.
It is National Pound Cake Day.
I'm okay with it. There's other kinds of cake that I would prefer. I mean, cake is cake to a degree.
Cookie cake's so much better than all the rest. But
what about the brownie cookie cake?
It was okay.
It was okay.
It was good. It was good.
Happy birthday. Catherine O'Hara is 70. Patricia Heaton is 66. Kevin Johnson, 58. Michael Gallup, 28. And Draymond Green is 34.
Will he ever grow up?
No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You were wanting a debate there. I apologize.
No, it's okay.
It
was a yes, no question. I mean, that's fine. No is probably the correct answer.
He's all grown up. He's just not the classiest of individuals.
True. Mm-hmm.
And we all know July 4th, 1776 is Independence Day. Like, that's the birth of this country, right? And don't get me wrong, I'm a huge fan. One of my favorite holidays of the year. But really, all we really did there was declare war. We hadn't won anything yet. The British surrendered September 3rd of 1783, so that's when we won our independence. But we still weren't the country that we are today. We had this little document running around that we used for a while called the Articles of Confederation, which had major issues. Well, that brings us to today in 1789. The very first session of the U.S. Congress is held in New York City as the U.S. Constitution takes effect. However, of the 22 senators and 59 representatives called to represent the 11 states who had ratified the document, only 9 senators and 13 representatives showed up to begin negotiations for its amendments. It would take until September 25th of 1789. After several months of debate, the first Congress of the United States adopted the 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution. We know them better as the Bill of Rights, and sent them to the states for ratification. This action led to the eventual ratification of the Constitution by the last of the 13 original colonies, North Carolina and Rhode Island. And that is this day in sports history.
So you're saying that the 4th of July shouldn't be the 4th of July?
I'm saying the 4th of July is always the 4th of July, mm-hmm. But it was just a declaration of war. Were we really a new country at that point? We were just fighting rebels at that point. And when we think of this country, what's the first phrase we think of when we're talking about the United States? We the people. That was today in 1789.
There you go.
Just be careful. I don't want them to take away 4th of July as a
day off.
It's a holiday, right?
Hey, we can celebrate when we told Britain to get the heck up out of here.
Just push for another day off.
This is what I'm talking about. This day should be celebrated.
Don't downplay the 4th.
Speaking of that 1960-61 Wake Forest team that you mentioned, the guard on that team was none other than Billy Packer. He was a junior that year, averaged 17 points a ball game, the former CBS broadcaster. Mm-hmm. How about that?
How about it?
6:52 this morning. Here on the Morning Drive, thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to DoubleT973.com for that, or the mobile app. Apparently, Dan in Dallas was in town this weekend. Okay. He said, I had a great weekend in the 806, fun at the baseball game, and listening to J. Allen Hacks call it. Some of my favorite restaurants, great basketball games too, and no tickets on the way home.
Nice.
That's from Dan in Dallas. Good job.
Like a complete trifecta right
there.
Yeah,
right. Right. Got to listen to you. Got to go to some good eats.
Now, if he hit the post trifecta on the way out of town, that man deserves a medal.
What's the post trifecta?
How many stoplights are in post?
I don't know. You tell me.
Three. That's the trifecta. Okay. Hit all three of those green without having to stop. That's the post trifecta.
Okay.
I've done it twice in my life.
Okay. Not necessarily something I've kept track of, but all right.
Yeah, I don't think I would have guessed it was possible because the speed limit's like 35 and 40.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I don't even think. I mean, you must have done it in the middle of the night when there was nobody there, and so nobody was slowing you down. And
I'm not even sure how I pulled it off.
Yeah,
I wish I could repeat it.
Not driving the speed limit.
Yeah,
that would be my guess.
No, through post. Oh, yeah. Absolutely driving the speed limit through post.
6:53 this morning here on the Morning Drive. The UIL playoffs are set for state championship bracket is set on the boys' side. Jamie, and that includes Newholm, has made it back to the state tournament again.
Awesome. Go Leopards.
Okay, so they will be in action on Friday at 8:30 in the morning. Lipan, at any rate. Lipan, okay. They're 34-4. Newholm is 31-7. And then they'll, if they win, play the winner of Thrall and Shelbyville. Okay.
All right. Well, go Newholm.
That's in the Class 2A bracket on the boys' side. Also on the boys' side, the Amarillo Sandys made it to the state tournament. I know we don't care about Amarillo, but, you know, it's kind of on our side of the state. 34-4, they'll take on Lancaster, 28-5. They'll play at 8 o'clock on Thursday.
Kind of on our side of the state.
Kind of. Well, they're north.
They're north. They're definitely on our side of the state.
Kind of they're a little north of us. Well, people down here don't like to say the panhandle, and people, when they look at this side of the state, they refer to us as in the panhandle, and we're not in the panhandle. We're below the panhandle. Panhandle kind of has a negative connotation.
So do most people from Lubbock, do they not like
Amarillo?
Yeah,
I think that's probably the case.
Supposed to not like Amarillo?
I think that's kind of the case. I think there's
Amarillo's just there so we don't end up in Oklahoma. That's what it is.
For someone who loves girls' high school basketball, I appreciate Amarillo and Tascosa and Canyons of the world. They're really good, so I can appreciate those programs.
All these games will be at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. Okay, it is 6:55 this morning here on the Morning Drive.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I had the strangest dream last night. I was playing basketball, and I kept complaining because the ball wasn't inflated properly.
Okay, well, that happened.
And it was dark in the gym, and I think this is, you know, it was a real dream. I don't know who I was playing for. I think whoever I was playing for, we were playing West Virginia, and it was like a Big 12 game. I was in it, so it was a real dream. And at one point in time, the ball went out of bounds, and I couldn't get to it. And I just, you know, you're in kind of in slow motion when you're in those things, and then another time, the ball went off of my forearm. And I told the guy from West Virginia, it's off you. And he said, yeah, I know.
Cheater.
I did feel a little bad about that. And then I woke up and it's like, oh man, that was really, 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 really weird. Anyway, so that was just, I wanted to share that with you for some reason. I don't know why, but it was just really bizarre. The other thing I wanted to share with you, I saw a promo over the weekend for the celebrating the 50th anniversary of Little House on the Prairie. Mm. And I thought of you because you just turned 50. So you're the same age as Little House on the Prairie.
Wow.
And I know that's a favorite show at your house.
Yeah, that was like my wife's favorite show as a kid. Yeah. She loves her some Laura Ingalls.
Yeah, well, you can tell her yours.
Laura Ingalls? Ingalls.
Yeah, Laura Ingalls. You're as old as the show. Bobby Hot Dog says, sounds like Hookshot Hines was really on point. I went by the broadcaster. I said, man, I'm just really not playing very well. And she said to me, oh, no, you're playing really good.
So a female broadcaster even.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Still, yeah. That's a very progressive dream there you got
talking.
There.
Still talking. Still talking. 7:18 this morning here on the Morning Drive. I'm very pleased with this, very surprised with this, very, and I don't know what, maybe I shouldn't have been, but I guess when they issue renderings of things and artist drawing of things, sometimes they don't necessarily turn out the way that you thought they were going to be, and sometimes you're disappointed by that, and sometimes you're pleased by that. But I didn't know that they were going to do an exact replica of the Double T scoreboard in the south end zone, only bigger and taller and more massive, but it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And I think that's brilliant. I mean, it just kind of takes all the complaining out of it. You can complain about it one way or the other. And I've seen some people like, well, we thought it was going to be more modern. Well, they're going to have massive video boards on both sides of it. And it's the Double T scoreboard. It's just brand new.
Yeah. So I had wondered if they would take the old one and put it up somewhere. You know, somewhere near the football stadium. Well, there's no need to do that because this one is the exact same. So you wouldn't put two of them up, I wouldn't guess. So I wonder what they'll eventually end up doing with it, but it looks great.
Yeah, it does. It looks awesome.
Going back to when everyone was complaining that the stadium wasn't going to have one, mm-hmm. I don't remember anybody saying that it had to be that Double T scoreboard. Like all the history that scoreboard had had, and there needed to be a Double T scoreboard with the big Double T sitting on top of the center of the stadium. That's the iconic look of the Jones. And bigger, fancier, nicer, more opportunities, all of those things were great. Just make it in the shape of a Double T. I don't remember anybody saying it had to be the original scoreboard.
No, no. But I guess what I was surprised by that it's the same design. That's what I knew it wasn't good.
I was surprised that it was the same design. I love it. It looks great.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. I mean, I just was surprised it was the same design. I didn't imagine that they would do that. I thought it was going to be something a little fancier, a little more tricked up. But I think it's awesome that they did it the way that they did it. So I think it looks. I think it's great. I think it looks awesome.
No notes. Good job.
Yeah, right. Sometimes we can just say thank you, clap your hands and say good job. You know, sometimes the obvious, it's in front of all of us that we miss the mark, right?
Listen, there's a lot of things in life that we can tell people exactly what we want.
Mm-hmm.
I want this exact thing. Don't deviate. You don't need to go it's 10 steps forward with it. I just want this. That we don't get that.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. This is one of the times that we wanted this and got exactly what we wanted. Good job. No notes.
Yeah.
I don't think I was in the camp that like felt like it needs to be the exact same thing.
Yeah, I didn't have any.
I didn't think it was going to be, and I didn't feel like. I mean, you're changing things. You're making it more modern. I think I assumed it would be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, me too.
I wasn't sitting back going, yeah, it has to be the same thing.
Right. Right.
Sometimes I'm perfectly happy that it is.
Yeah. Hey, I got a note from one of my Facebook friends last night, Jamie. A direct message from a guy named Eric.
Did he slide into your DMs?
He did. He said, I just came around the Marsha Sharp flyover. Yes, you can see the double T from there when you're driving eastbound. This was a conversation that we had the other day, you know, when I was like trying to look over my shoulder to see if I could see it.
Traveling eastbound?
Yeah, eastbound. So he's going eastbound. He came around.
He's coming toward the stadium at that point, as opposed to Chuck, who was going westbound, southbound onto the loop.
The eastbound turn is lower.
Right.
It is.
Yeah. But I'm not sure where he was on the eastbound, but I mean, I'm not sure where he was, but he was, he just wanted, I mean, that tells me he's a listener. Because he was, you know, because
we have lots of those.
We do. I mean, you know, it's just it's more real when they come to you like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when somebody comes up to you and starts talking to you about something that we said. I'm like, oh yeah, we did talk about that.
So he's a lot smarter and safer than what you're talking about.
Oh sure, yeah.
He's looking in that direction.
Yeah.
He's not looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people that are smarter and brighter than me. Safer. That doesn't all those things doesn't take a whole lot to get you to that point. 7:23 this morning here on the Morning Drive. So just so you know, just if you were to the season were to end today in terms of the men's basketball tournament, the Red Raiders would have a double bye. In other words, they would not play until Thursday, March the 14th. Texas Tech would play the winner of Oklahoma State and UCF would play in the 12-13 round, and the winner of that game would play the 5-seed BYU, and then the winner of that game would play Texas Tech. So Tech, Houston, Iowa State, and Baylor would all have the top 4 seeds. Houston would have the top seed, then Iowa State, then Baylor, then Texas Tech. So you get to save your legs for a couple of days, which is great for so many different reasons. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you can kind of keep that alive.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day, brought to you by someone not named Jamie.
Throwing Chuck a curveball today. And I'm stealing this off of Twitter from over the weekend. It was an interesting conversation that this Twitter feed got into, and I thought that we could have some fun with it as well. And the good news is, I don't think there's a wrong answer for this question, but it is a 5-part question.
Oh, my God.
No. But it's just one question with 5 answers.
Is there a right answer?
There's a right answer for you. And there's a right answer for the audience. I don't know that there's a wrong answer.
What about me? There's no right answer for me?
That's a collective you.
Oh, that collective was the young you. Okay, I thought you meant like Jamie you.
So, gentlemen, I want you to think of...
Jamie you, man. Gotta have really good grades to get in there.
Right. It is spring training for Major League Baseball, and you start to gear up for the upcoming year. I want you to think of the 5 AL West teams. Texas Rangers, Los Angeles Angels, Oakland Athletics, Seattle Mariners, and the Houston Astros. When you think of those franchises, who is the first person you see in their uniforms?
Oh, man.
Okay. Texas Rangers, Nolan Ryan. Seattle Mariners, Ken Griffey Jr. Los Angeles Angels, Mike Trout. Oakland Athletics, Ricky Henderson. And who am I missing?
Seattle, LA, Astros.
Houston Astros, Jose Altuve.
Chuck?
Okay.
I took all the good answers.
Yeah, you really...
I don't think you did, because there's a couple that...
I think for the Angels, I see Shohei Ohtani. But he's not there anymore. I realize that.
That's fine.
But he's with the Dodgers. I mean, you brought up Nolan Ryan with the team. I think with the Oakland A's. I see Vita Blue. I mean, I'll show my age.
There's
here.
Nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's a wrong answer unless you pick someone that never played for the team.
With the with the Rangers, I see Adrian Beltre then. The Seattle Mariners, I see Lupinella as their manager. and then who's my other one that I need?
You got Oakland, you got the Rangers, Astros.
Astros. I just remember those great pitching staffs from the early 80s, which Nolan Ryan was a member of. It's somewhat blasphemy to say Nolan Ryan there.
He was a great Astro. There's nothing wrong with that
answer. I see Nolan Ryan there.
I don't know that there's a wrong answer unless you pick a player that didn't play for one of these teams. When I first see the Seattle Mariners logo, I don't know why that I pick Randy Johnson over Ichiro and A-Rod and Ken Griffey Jr., but it's that just over the glove stare with the Mariners logo staring at me that just jumps out at me.
I think that's a good answer.
Yeah, I do. I think Randy Johnson is a good answer.
For the Angels, the funny thing about Nolan Ryan is you could pick him for three of these teams.
Absolutely.
I think Mike Trout is the definitive answer for this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you went Shohei Ohtani, if you went Albert Pujols, although I think of him more as a Cardinal than an Angel.
I think of him as a Cardinal, yeah.
But, I mean, he was there for a while. There's a bunch of people that could be in this category for the Angels, but Mike Trout's probably the best answer.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the Oakland Athletics, Jose Canseco, Mark McGwire, I can't split the two of them up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the two Bash brothers sitting hand in hand. The mental image burned in my brain. When I look at the Texas Rangers, while I think Nolan Ryan is a great answer for this, it's Josh Hamilton in the home run derby in New York in that uniform. And I know it's an all-star uniform that he was wearing, but that's the image of the Rangers immediately that jumps out.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also say that Juan Gonzalez or Pudge would be a great answer for the Rangers as well.
Yeah.
For all time. When I look at the Astros, and maybe this is because I grew up in Houston, Jeff Bagwell. The batting stance, the longevity with the team, the steroid use. I mean, let's call it what it was. But just that look and that blue top with the gold script across the front of it.
How about Jose Cruz, since you grew up in Houston?
Cruz was good, don't get me wrong. But yeah. Like when I think of the Astros, the very first name that pops off of my head is Jeff Bagwell. And maybe it's because he was an MVP at the same time as Frank Thomas was, and that those two share a birthday, and that's why it's in my head that way. But that I was more disappointed that Jeff Bagwell didn't get to play in the World Series than I was Frank Thomas didn't get to play in the World Series. For how much, well, I guess Bagwell did play, but he wasn't the Bagwell you were expecting.
And maybe if I had to change, another guy that I might throw out there for the Astros was, and then this is 40 years ago guy, J.R. Richard, just in terms of how hard he threw the ball. And he was a hard luck story.
I basically, all my answers, it was like when I paid attention to that team, when I noticed that team.
Okay.
I am growing up in the Northeast. I didn't pay attention to the AL West hardly at all.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a factor.
That's fair.
And so when I was younger, the reason that Ricky Henderson is there is obviously he was a Yankee, and he went back and forth with the Yankees and A's a few times and all that. So I liked Ricky as a Yankee. And then when he would go to the A's and wear those bright colored batting gloves, I would think that was pretty cool. And so I would pay attention to him there. That's when I paid attention to Oakland. But I didn't pay attention to the Rangers and the Astros until I moved to Texas, which was later on in my lifetime when I was, of college age. So,
And for me, paying attention to the West, I mean,
pay attention to the Angels until, I mean, I know they won a World Series, 02-ish, whatever, with Tim Salmon and that crew, JT Snow, whatever. But, I didn't really pay much attention to them until Mike Trout and all that group that feels like that was a fun team to watch.
And see, I paid a lot of attention to the West when the Royals were in the West with the Angels and the Rangers and the A's. So we saw a lot of those teams.
Yeah.
I did. For me growing up, yeah. Let's see. Somebody says this for the Rangers, Nolan Ryan, Astros, Bagwell, for the Mariners, Griffey, and then for the Angels in the outfield.
that might be a fair one, too. Like, some of, like, when I, the first thing I think of for the Indians or the Guardians, whatever you want to call them now, it's Bob Uecker, and he's the play-by-play guy for the Detroit Tigers. Like, wrong team. I'm sorry, Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes.
Like, wrong team, ooh. But my first thought of the Indians is him as opposed to any other player. Mm-hmm. And then it's usually Jim Thome and Kenny Lofton, but that's first.
Choice says this. Choice Woodman says this for the Rangers, Pudge Rodriguez. That's his guy. Craig Biggio for the Astros. Ricky Henderson for the A's. Chili Davis for the Angels.
That's a good
Chili
one.
Davis. And Ichiro for the Mariners. So those are good names, too. Somebody brings up Jimmy Wynn, the toy cannon. And then for the Rangers for Young. So.
Like, unless you said a name like Derek Jeter playing for one of these teams, I don't know that there's a wrong answer. If you played for one of these teams, if that's the first one you see, that's the right answer.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That was a good question. In a five-parter, usually that's not necessarily a skill set for all of us, me particularly. But
nobody answered Arkansas.
Right.
So we did good.
Are we giving David Collier as much heat as we should over his capital of Finland?
Who's this David Collier you speak of?
7:40 this morning here on the Morning Drive. The Boom 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 is next.
This is the Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Great to have you with us today. As we expect you to be here every day, not every minute of every day, but just, occasional attendance is perfect.
Well, Jamie and I have been here all show. Can we go home?
Not yet. Okay. You've got another hour. All right. We come to you this morning, Jamie, Jeff, and I from the First United Bank studio.
You said we didn't have to be here every minute. Like, we've been here enough, haven't we?
Sure. You can, if you don't want to be here, leave. It's okay.
You're giving us permission to leave. Like,
no,
that's the
catch. I really wasn't. You took that too literally. Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. Go to the Double T 97.3 mobile app for that. Visual Edge IT hotline 2-806-771-0973. All right. You ready for some proposed rule changes for college football for next year?
Okay.
This is according to Yahoo's Ross Dellinger. He says that college football is set to approve three significant rule changes for the 2024 season. As we get closer to this, and I'm sure this is something that Chris Need will weigh in on from time to time as well. Number one, electronic helmet communication. This would allow coaches to communicate with players electronically instead of holding up poster boards or using signs. This technology exists in the NFL and seems to be universally supported. I don't know what the expense is like for the non-Power 5 schools in terms of how does this affect them. I would think that that's always going to be the one thing that college football will look at when they look to make some kind of technology change is how does this affect the schools that don't have the big Power 5 budgets like Texas Tech and other schools that are out of the Big 12 or the Big 10 or the SEC or the ACC, and really it's the Power 4 now at any rate. Mm-hmm. So you're good with that?
Yeah, I'm definitely good with that.
Okay. It keeps you from having the sign stealing and, like I said, the big poster boards on the sidelines.
Yep.
Number two, they would allow tablets on the sideline and during halftime. This would allow that's the communication there. So the tablets would just be where what you see like on the NFL. And we're seeing this now in college basketball where they can have a tablet or a computer on the sideline and they can show replays in a huddle or they can show replays at halftime. So, the person that sits directly next to me, he's got a computer. They're keeping track of things. They can have a series of plays all set up and lined up to review at halftime for the players. And this, too, makes, like, complete sense.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Tablet, okay. Mm-hmm. The number three one. This one may draw the ire of folks. As you know, college football recently changed its clock rules. It no longer stops after first downs while the chains are reset. It the language surrounding these changes is that it makes the game more efficient, when in reality it just adds more stoppages so broadcasts can increase the ad inventory, according to this article. But they're also going to have potentially a 2-minute warning in college football.
I like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I do too. It does give you an opportunity to sell some more commercials. And as the, you know, cost of doing business for college football continues to climb, whether it's, you know, the networks having to pay more to broadcast the games and the schools having to find more revenue to, you know, pay their players, so to speak, and just the cost of doing business, you know, at some point in time, not everything is going to be for free. So, I mean, it would add another. I've long felt like that college football should have a 2-minute warning, because on the other hand, it gives both teams a chance to kind of reset the deck. It gives you an extra timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, sure does. It gives you a chance, the team coming back. It gives them a better chance with that extra timeout.
Yeah, yeah.
And makes for hopefully exciting finishes at the end of the game.
Right, right. That's, and which is part of why I'd love to see men's basketball go to quarter play, because college men's basketball is like the only thing that is on the 2 20-minute halves, whether it's Olympics or, you know, over in Europe or the NBA or high school. Now, women's hoops has had it for several years. The end of quarter opportunities, I think, make it pretty exciting. And I'd love to see college basketball go to a quarter system.
I don't really have a strong reason for wanting it to stay like it is. But for whatever reason, in my mind, I do. I will say that I'm adamant that I do not want to see the 1-1 go away. Like it has in high school, and it has in women's basketball.
Yeah, I'd be in agreement with you on that, because the
so if you wanted to move the men's to quarters, mm-hmm. I'd be okay with it. Put the 1-1 back in the women's game.
Okay, I'm not gonna disagree with you on that. I think that it's made the free throw a pretty prevalent part of the women's game. I mean, getting to the free throw line, you get that fifth foul and you're getting 2 free throws, and it's like, man, how quick can you get to 5?
Yeah, so you just can go shoot back free to throws. Doing it the way they used to, where 7.5 gets you a 1-1, 10.5 gets you double bonus. Just go back to that. Yeah. Just even though you're playing quarters, the foul count goes halves, not quarters.
Okay, so once you get to 7, then you're at 1-1, and you get to 10, you're at the double bonus.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have any problem with that.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.